This is Ann Gaffigan from Women Talk Sports, and I'm doing an exclusive interview with Jonathan Little, an attorney out of Indianapolis, who is representing several female athletes, young female athletes, who have been sexually abused by their coaches. And John's here to tell us a little bit about just how bad this problem is and how much no one wants to admit it. John, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
So tell me how you first got involved, how you're the first athlete that you represented, what happened, and how was she finally able to come forward when so many people keep it quiet for so long?
Well, I had the misfortune of the first case being a collegiate teammate of mine at Indiana University. The young lady was a Big Ten record holder in her event, was on the swim team at Indiana University, and what happened, her high school, her USA swimming coach when she was in high school, clandestinely taped her in the shower and several other young ladies over the course of about 10 years and distributed those pictures on the internet. And he was finally caught by the FBI in 2008, and we filed we commenced our legal actions shortly thereafter against the school districts that employed him and USA Swimming kind of as an overthought. And then, as things moved along, one day out of the blue, another Indianapolis swim coach was arrested for having sex with a 14-year-old in a broom closet at Lawrence North High School in Indianapolis. And it struck me as odd that two Indianapolis coaches in such a short time period would be in trouble. And then two more coaches in January of 2009 were arrested as well for sexual improprieties with their USA Swimming athletes.
So all of these are male coaches and young female athletes that are minors.
These are all male coaches and female athletes between the ages of 14 and 18 in Indianapolis, Indiana. And I thought, well, that can't be. This is just for, you know, it's just Indianapolis. And an Indianapolis swim coach by the name of Ken Stopcott, he was brave enough to come forward and talk to myself and another attorney in San Jose and say that, you know, these cases that you two have that you thought were isolated are not isolated. He named names and gave us the information. And today, USA Swimming, one, is trying to ban that coach for life from USA Swimming for blowing the whistle. And number two, we've identified at least 73 coaches that we know have in USA Swimming that have violated young girls as young as 10 or 12 years old.
73. So what is USA Swimming doing about this? I mean, in your opinion, are they doing a good job handling the situation, or are they just trying to hide everything?
No, USA Swimming is not doing a good job. They have agreed to plan in perpetuity. They've created task force and committees, and they have essentially blamed the victims. They have spread misinformation about victims in the communities. They have
I mean, they've outright blamed the victims?
They do outright blame the victims. In our case in Indianapolis, they printed pictures from Facebook on my client's Facebook account of her in a swimsuit as a lifeguard on Halloween, for example, and said, how can you be upset with of these pictures of you naked in the shower when you're 17 or 18 years old when you have these scandalous pictures of yourself out on the internet? They have called mutual friends of ours from college, hers and mine, and asked if we had a sexual relationship. They have said she's only pursuing this case because her father lost her job. They have done, you know, in California in two cases, they have actually turned around and sued the local swim clubs, you know, these local mom-and-pop swim clubs, claiming that they were responsible, not USA Swimming. And in all cases, USA Swimming has had direct knowledge that these coaches had previous instances of pedophilia and have chose to ignore it, and that resulted in the violations of our clients. And what's so sad about this, Ann, is that every day I get calls from women in their 40s and 50s who are molested by these coaches, you know, in the 70s, and then these coaches continue to coach until some to the present day. And USA Swimming has done nothing and still chooses not to act on those coaches and not to remove those coaches.
So essentially, they're just trying to keep everybody from talking instead of trying to fix the problem.
Right. USA Swimming could have said, you know what, we do have a problem. We are working to fix it. Let's make things right. Let's pay for counseling for these victims. Let's remove the bad apples from our midst. Let's be the example. And instead, because the USOC refuses to hold USA Swimming responsible, and because USA Swimming rules their athletes and their parents with fear and intimidation, nothing has been done. And the sad truth is, I can tell you, financially, we have put a great deal of money into this case, into the six figures. And I can tell you that USA Swimming's legal bills are in the millions of dollars. That would have been enough a long time ago to have done the right thing. It's not anymore.
Right. And they're trying to sue the local clubs now. On what basis? You know, why do they think the local clubs should be at fault instead of themselves?
Well, the reason why they want to sue the local clubs is, first thing to remember is that USA Swimming certifies these coaches. You have to be a certified USA Swimming coach to coach in USA Swimming. You have to take their tests, pass their classes. You have to, your connection to USA Swimming, to swim in the Olympic trials, you have to be, you know, a USA Swimming member. You have to be affiliated with USA Swimming. So USA Swimming controls these coaches. They control these clubs. But what is going on is USA Swimming has an insurance company, United States Sports Insurance Corporation, located offshore in the Barbados. They have structured that insurance company specifically to thwart the payment of sexual misconduct claims by making it financially unaffordable for the victims and their lawyers to pursue those claims. So they take a club, and that club only has insurance of $100,000. USA Swimming has millions of dollars of insurance, and what they'll do is they'll sue the club and try to pass the liability onto the club. The club won't have the insurance money to pay the claim. The club will go bankrupt. USA Swimming will skate away, and the insurance company will continue to kick back millions of dollars to the executives of USA Swimming.
So, obviously there's some major, major issues here. What is their defense? I mean, they have to, at some point, be held accountable. I mean, what have they come out and said publicly that they're going to do to try to prevent this in the future?
Well,
anything?
What they've said they're going to, they have agreed to work with the Child Welfare League, which is an organization here in the United States that has a lot of history with foster care facilities. However, one of the original board members of USA Swimming and a man who is very connected to this Barbados insurance company is a man by the name of Ross Wales, who's an attorney in Cincinnati. He's very connected at USA Swimming on their insurance corporation. He's also on the board of directors for the Child Welfare League. So they can't even make their solutions incestuous and profitable.
Mm-hmm.
And as we stand here today, the Child Welfare League has been engaged for some months, and again, we're just planning to plan. USA Swimming has done nothing. They have done nothing. They have not expelled any coaches. They have steadfastly refused to admit that USA Swimming is the Wild West for child molesters.
Now, why haven't the parents started to make a lot of noise here? I mean, you would think they wouldn't want to keep sending their kids to practice if 73 coaches are still coaching that have been found as sexual harassers and sexual molesters. What are the parents doing?
Well, I have a couple of theories. I don't think that we have, even despite the fact that we've been on the front page of USA Today, that we've been on 2020, that we've been on ESPN, we've been on, you know, in local papers across the country for a year, I don't think we've reached the membership of USA Swimming. I don't think the parents are quite aware of the problem, number one. Number two, USA Swimming has repeatedly taken retribution against anybody who has helped us. As I said earlier, Mr. Stopcotti has been or is in the process of being banned for life from USA Swimming for his actions. They slander and smear my client. They victim blamed in every case.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a culture they're using fear, and it's not. I wouldn't even say it's fear. Their threats are legitimate.
Mm-hmm. Now another issue is with their banned list. So they say, you know, we have a list of coaches who are banned. We run background checks on our coaches, et cetera, but there is a good list of coaches who have been in jail for sexual misconduct already, or otherwise were known to have engaged in sex acts with children and are not on that banned list.
Right, including the last coach of the U.S. Olympic team, number one. He wasn't on the banned list. He violated a 14-year-old girl. USA Swimming, instead of publicly banning him, got him a job working with young children at the Country Club of Colorado, then lied about it, and were exposed for that lie. Now he is actually on the banned list. But another coach, Mitch Ivey, was the coach at University of Florida. In 1993, ESPN did an expose about his sordid affairs with teenage girls. The University of Florida immediately fired him. To this day, he is not on the banned list for USA Swimming. It's a good old boys network, as you're well aware, in the USOC and in USA Swimming. And, you know, these guys don't want to out their friends. And quite frankly, it's a perk of being a USA Swimming coach that you get to have sex with your athletes and nothing will happen. I mean, it's you know, the reaction has been, how dare you guys take that away from us? That has been the reaction of USA Swimming's coaches.
Wow. So why do you think this is happening in swimming? Are the athletes just so driven they are sacrificing themselves and staying quiet so they can succeed in swimming? I mean, what's going on?
You know, I don't know why. We have had complaints in other sports, nothing on the scale of USA Swimming. I cannot, and you and I ran track, and we weren't, you know, we were probably comparably dressed swimmers. I don't know why. And, you know, also, we've never had a male complaint, and I have to believe, statistically, there has to be young men out there that are in this position as well. But I think that it's partly to do with the location of the pool. I think that the swimmers are always kind of isolated in the pool by themselves. I think, you know, USA Swimming does not require mandatory reporting. So we've had a lot of cases. We had one case where a young lady, she's a bit older now, but she was violated in the early 90s by a guy who violated one of our clients subsequently. And we said to her, well, when he was doing this to you when you're 14 and 15, why didn't you complain? And she said, well, who was I going to complain to? I used to go on dates with other USA Swimming coaches and their wives when I was 15 and he was 40. And so the culture in USA Swimming is so rotten and vile and disgusting that it's just accepted. I mean, it is the way things are.
Well, and there's a reason there's a reason that it's wrong to take advantage of a minor. They are supposed to be able to trust the people in charge of them, and they look to them for how you're supposed to act in the world. So that might be why they come to you in their 40s and 50s, because they realize now how wrong it was. And
right, they realize not how wrong it was.
At the time, they didn't understand.
Well, and you know, I don't entirely. These coaches are not. These coaches who are now in their 30s and 40s, they grew up watching their coaches molest young girls on their team, their teammates. So the fact that this is going on, you know, doesn't really surprise me. I mean, USA Swimming has no training on. We have not had a case where there's been a 16-year-old girl and an attractive 21-year-old coach. And, you know, at first I could not, you know, in my mind maybe I could rationalize that. I'm not saying that the coach should be professional enough to not, you know, act in those situations. But we've had fat old men with young girls. And the way they're doing it is, like you said, they're exploiting the power relationship between a coach and an athlete. And it's a very, very powerful relationship.
It is.
As an athlete, you want to please your coach, and that's what these coaches are using to violate these young girls, that relationship. And USA Swimming offers no training in instructing their membership how to act in those situations, what's appropriate, and it's leading to the violation of hundreds of young women. And I'm going to say young men, too. I know that must be the case.
They might be even, yeah, well, they're going to be even less likely to come forward just because it's embarrassing. For both of them, for men and for girls and boys, it's embarrassing. someone violated you, and you shouldn't be the one embarrassed, but they are, and it, you know, they can't help that. This is obviously a systemic problem, and USA Swimming needs to do something with the athletes themselves, and, you know, they need to prep them on how to react in a situation like that, who to tell, how to report it. You know, they need to open their doors to them and say, come tell us as soon as something like this happens. So what else, in your mind, does USA Swimming need to do to fix this, as opposed to what they're doing instead?
USA Swimming needs to first go to all these victims, not just the ones with viable legal claims, and pay their counseling bills from this abuse going back decades. I mean, there's been suicides, there's been all sorts of horrible, horrible things, mutilations, I mean, just disgusting events, and USA Swimming needs to make those right for everybody. USA Swimming needs to establish an anonymous hotline that's policed by somebody other than the USOC or USA Swimming to report these claims. USA Swimming needs to pass a rule that if you see any sexual abuse, you're to report it. If you see any sexual crimes by a fellow coach, you're to report it. USA Swimming needs to say that if you're not a licensed massage therapist, you don't give massages. USA Swimming needs to say, USA Swimming so far has said that young ladies should not wear training bikinis because it's too tempting. They actually published that one.
Oh my gosh. So, how did they get away with that?
That's how far apart we are on our attitudes here. USA Swimming needs to have a rule that you're not to have athletes in your hotel room. We had coaches who have had athletes in their bed, have taken showers with young athletes of the opposite gender. Coaches should not be alone with athletes in situations where the door is closed.
Mm-mm.
And that, you know, that goes without saying. You know, in the East Coast, high school athletic associations have had those rules forever.
Yeah.
In 50 years. USA Swimming is 2010, and we haven't gone anywhere.
Unbelievable.
And the sad thing is the effect that this has on these young women. I didn't realize until I got in this case that the effect that this kind of abuse has on these young people is horrific. And it's permanent.
Permanent. Absolutely. I can't even imagine. So, John, if someone's listening and this has happened to them, are you open for representation?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Call me or call any of our. We have offices in New Jersey, San Jose, and Kansas City as well. At the very least, even if you do not want to file or proceed with the case, I can get you in touch with other victims and people that can commiserate with you and understand what you're going through. I think it's very important for these younger girls to understand that, number one, in no way is this their fault. Number two, they're not alone. Sadly, they're not alone.
Right. And this has really become, I mean, almost from the start, this was personal for you because your first client was a good friend. And
right. She was a very good friend of mine.
This isn't something where, you know, your clients are trying to get millions of dollars so they can go take vacations. I mean, this is legitimate damage that was done, and no one's in this for the money, maybe except for USA Swimming, but, you know, you guys are trying to undo this horrific systemic issue.
Right. I'm a sole practitioner. I've basically abandoned my criminal practice to finance these cases. I have spent thousands and thousands of dollars on this. In Indiana, for example, there's a cap on how much money we can receive. It won't even be enough to cover what we put into this case, but it's the point of the matter. It's the principle that athletics is supposed to be something good. Athletics, my best memories growing up are from athletics. My coaches are some of the most important people in my life, and the fact that these young people have to look back on their athletic career and think of rape and mutilation and horrible things like that is just wrong. And the fact that it took legal action to bring that to USA Swimming's attention shows you what kind of disgusting human beings are in charge of USA Swimming that need to be absolutely removed. And that would be our final condition, that Chuck Welges, Pat Hogan, Mark Schubert, the leadership at USA Swimming and in the USOC needs to change.
Absolutely. Well, John, thank you for bringing some light to this. As you said, not enough people know about it, and this is just horrific. something needs to be done. And so if someone does want to get a hold of you, they can go to your website to find your contact information?
That's correct.
JohnLittleLaw.com. And there's a link.
Right, JohnLittleLaw.com, JohnLittleLaw, .com. And there's a link on there. You click on the swimmer, and it will take you to our main Mystic Swimming page.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll put that below this podcast so that everyone who wants to get a hold of you is able to. Thanks again for joining us, and good luck with the case.
Hey, no problem.
Thanks for fighting for those athletes. Somebody's got to do it.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Bye-bye.